a very special guest is joining us right now. He is the governor of Washington State. His name is Jay Inslee, and thank you, Governor, for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us here on Cairo Nights.
You bet.
Governor Inslee, while the state has banned evictions, there's some King County Council members who have called on the state to, and the feds, actually, to find a way to freeze both rent and mortgage payments. Is this something the state, or for that matter, the federal government, should be doing?
Well, we have prohibited evictions for non-payment of rent. We've also had some success in a moratorium for foreclosures for those who own homes. We have not taken that step. We've been focused more on getting the virus under control. As time goes on, things of that nature could become under consideration depending on how long the shutdown has to occur. And as you know, we're very concentrated on minimizing that by getting as much testing capability as we can. So it's a possibility. It's not a decision that we've made so far.
Governor, can I ask you about testing? Because you've said quite often that the decisions that you make are based on science and scientific data. And every expert says that we need widespread, thorough testing. Can you tell us where are we with testing and where should we be?
Well, we're basically going to have a transition as soon as we can, and that's a transition from a social distancing strategy that is so intrusive in our lives and our economy. It's rather a blunt instrument, if you think of it. We want to transition to a smart approach, which is individualized, which can protect individuals, and when they get a fever, make sure they're tested immediately, and making sure we have contact tracing for everyone they've had contact in, sort of like a fire brigade. We want to have fire brigades. When your house is on fire, you call and you get, you know, service in minutes. We need to do the same thing for individuals. And we need that as quickly as possible, because as we get down to as close to zero or close as we can get, we need to have that testing and contact tracing capability going forward so that the curve of fatalities would not come back up again. Now, where we are is we do not have even close the testing capability that we need to be in that position. We have had a serious shortage of things as fundamental as the swabs that are necessary to take the tests and the virus transport medium within which it has to be enclosed, and the analytical capability. And that supply chain has been severely challenged. Now, it is improving. I just got off the phone this afternoon with the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services. I've had multiple discussions with the Vice President, and I have had multiple discussions in the last several days with leaders of the private companies that are manufacturing this equipment and providing these tests. And I think I can say that there is a growth of that supply chain that's been fairly robust. We've got tens of thousands of swabs coming in the next few days. We have an increasing capability at the University of Washington in analytical capability, so that is improving, but we have to do that fairly dramatically. We did get a breakthrough today in that it sounds like the federal government is doing what I urged the president weeks ago to do, which is to really engage the Pentagon in really bringing in the defense supply chain into doing all this manufacturing. So the cavalry's on the way, but we need it to get here as soon as possible.
Well, Governor, let's talk a little bit about the feds. Your relationship with the president has been tense on a good day. Do you feel like that relationship, or the nature of that relationship, and the fact that he's frequently criticizing you via Twitter and or in other means, do you feel like that in any way harms the state's ability to work with the federal government to ramp up testing, to ramp up funding, and all of the rest that we need?
I don't think it has, because I've pretty much ignored that, just sort of treat his, you know, sort of insultive behavior as background noise. That has not impeded my ability to do our job. And we've had a good working relationship with a host of the federal agencies. I talk to the vice president probably every third day about a variety of subjects, and he has attempted to help us clear out some of the bureaucratic underbrush to get things done. I speak to multiple folks. I spoke to Admiral P, who runs the procurement system, the day before yesterday, and the Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services today. I've had numerous discussions with, you know, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birch and others. So we've had a good open communication system with multiple levels of the federal government. We were very appreciative of what a lot of the agencies have done. We had the Army here with the field hospital that we were able to send back to places that needed it more. And today I'm most happy we have strike teams going into our long-term care facilities, and we have personnel from the public health service. These are quite often physicians who work for the public health service, and they're going into our long-term care facilities to make sure we have as aggressive infection control as possible, because we understand the tragedy that can take place if the disease takes off in these facilities. So, no, I don't think that that has handicapped. It's been an annoyance at times, but we're doing our business, and that's important.
Governor, you talked earlier about using a blunt instrument and then needing the transition to a finer instrument as things progress. You know, you can't say when this will all be over. I understand that. But in any of your conversations, or maybe you personally, do you envision how this is going to end, what it's going to look like in its final days?
Well, I don't know about the end. You know, I think the virus is going to be with us for, you know, years or less, depending on when we really get a vaccine or a palliative medical procedure. There are several trials being held today, some in Washington State, to try to get a treatment for the disease even before a vaccine. I think it is going to be with us for some period of time. So I wouldn't think of this as an end. What I would think of it is getting to something where we have a stable strategy to minimize this over the coming months. And what this looks like to me is if we all continue to be committed to social distancing in the upcoming weeks, and if the progress we're making continues where we start actually seeing a reduction in the number of fatalities on a daily basis, that really hasn't happened yet. We've sort of been plateaued for a period of time. And we get down to zero or close to zero, and at that point, we bring in this fire brigade approach to prevent new infections from starting up. That's a place where we can then begin to reopen our businesses and get back to our social lives that are more acceptable. But both of those have to happen. And everybody who's listening to this is a leader in this regard. The more people who continue to shop for their grandparents so they don't have to go to the grocery store, the more people don't congregate in parks and infect each other, the more people who are protecting, not playing with their grandkids so older folks get this, the faster we'll get to having those two conditions apply. And I'm proud of our state. Washingtonians have done a great job on this. The rest of the country is, if not envious, have been looking to us for some of the leadership we've had because we have bent the curve. So we just got to keep this up.
Governor, on testing, which is the more important thing, the test that shows whether or not you have it or the antibody test that I think Dr. Fauci has been talking about that can show whether or not you've already had it and maybe developed the antibodies for it? I think that they have linked that in some sort of idea way to a go get back to work card or waiver. How do you see these, and which test is the one that you think is going to move the bar the most for Washingtonians who are not at work right now?
I think they're both important. I don't know how to choose between them. They work in concert. Obviously, the RNA test is good, but it doesn't tell you whether you actually have the disease now or not. And we don't know yet whether even having the antibodies makes you a non-transmitter. Some of that science has yet to come in. The virus obviously is important because it tells you the present condition of the patient, and so that's extremely important. And we don't know which will have the larger scale. You know, if we can get the RNA test and do it 10 or 20 times more frequently than the virus test, that might be end up being more important. But we don't know the answer to that technology. I will say that some of the new technologies coming on every few days that can be helpful. I just today in my talks with the assistant secretary heard about a new technology that might come on to accelerate the throughput of some of our virus testing. So that could be very helpful. So both important, both need new technology, and both need the commitment to get these manufacturers to make the products.
What can we do about the backups and the problems, just for overload problems with the Employment Security Department? There have been people who have been bumped off the line, people waited, get hung up on. There's also been people who have gone through, and those payments have started to come out. But is there a permanent fix that needs to happen there, or do you feel like this is a one-time event and there's not anything larger in the system that needs repair?
No, I think we will get to an improvement of the situation. I'm sure people understand we've had 5, 6, 7 times more claims ever filed in state history. So it's been an enormous burst of demands on the system. What we need to do is everything humanly possible, and that's what we're doing, starting with hiring about 200 people a week to help process the claims as fast as we can hire them. We also are bringing in new technology from a variety of vendors to help with new technological solutions. And we're doing something very smart, I think, which is dividing up the calls that come in between those of people who have general questions and those who have more specific issues with a particular claim. And dividing that up, we think are going to improve the response, particularly for those who have existing claims. Now, we can also help. This is very difficult, but patience is going to be necessary a little bit, and that's really hard for people who are trying to make their rent payments. But this money is going to get to people as fast as humanly possible. We will get to a position where we have more normal wait times to get this job done, and believe me, I can feel it. My son's laid off because of my order. He's a construction worker right now, and he's not working, and I've got another relative not working. I am particularly sensitive to the need to get these checks out.
I have a question that might be a little out of left field here, but I really need to know, because you have a very strange job and you have to make some very big decisions that affect a lot of people. So how do you, as a person, deal with this job where no matter what you do, there are always going to be people who don't like what you did, they don't like your decision, and they don't like you?
Well, enough about my family members. You need to leave them out of this here and in this situation.
I
tell you, you just do the, it's like any, this job is not that different than other jobs. You do the best job you can every day you can, and you understand that's what you ought to do. I mean, it goes back to how you're raised, and that's how I was raised. You get up and give it everything you've got during that day, and that's what you do. And I think the difference is there's more people who can be disappointed or enraptured by what I do than most other jobs. I will say this. I've been in public life now since 1988 when Trudy and I worked to get a school bond passed to build a high school, and we got it passed on the 7th try over in Selah, Washington. And, there were people at that time who didn't agree with our positions. So I've been in this rodeo for quite a long period of time, and I actually have been very pleasantly, maybe surprised is the right word, is the number of people who have agreed with the nature of the decisions I've been making. They understand we're all in this together. I've been very pleased that this has been very bipartisan in our state. Republicans and Democrats, by and large, legislative leaders have embraced the general thrust of what we're doing. There's some disagreements on the fringes, but I think there's been a really broad recognition that we're all in this soup together, that to get out of it, all of us have some bearing, and that we are going to have brighter days ahead, and those things have served our state really well. So I even have people making me masks now. I had somebody just handed me a mask from Spokane that has the Washington flag on it, and so good things happen, at least to me.
What do you anticipate happening on May 4th?
Well, we're going to make the right decision. I can't tell you exactly what it is yet, but I anticipate that we will make a right decision that tries to get our economy restarted when we've bent this curve down adequately and when we've built the contact tracing and the testing and when we have a plan that is phased on the safe measures of what we can do, particular to parts of our lives and our industries, and we'll make those right decisions. They will be based on data and science and the goodwill of Washingtonians. I really wish I could give you the specific crystal ball what that date will be. I can't. All I can do is tell you the truth and the honest thinking we have, and I think we're going to make the right decision because we have so many good people of science to help us make those right decisions. And for those who want to get back to work, hey, the more that we are dedicated to this stay home, stay healthy initiative, the faster we're going to be able to do those things.
So let's just say, for example, that the numbers are trending in a manner that you and your advisors feel like are good numbers. Maybe we can start the 4th or right around there. What happens for the rest of the summer? I mean, the state's borders are not sealed. Some states are following strict guidelines. Some are following less strict guidelines. Certainly, that will free up travel and transport. What happens then? Or is this sort of the thing that we should expect waves of stay at home in the future? Or what would you speculate?
Well, this is where the fire brigade approach comes into importance. The scenario you say, look, we're not going to shut off the state of Washington from all travel. Our families are going to travel. Our business people are going to travel. We're going to be bringing food and products into our state. So that's not an option. And that means we are going to have a very robust way to find people who might have symptoms and very quickly isolate them and very quickly test them and the people they've had contact with. If we do that, I think that there's a reason to believe we can avoid recurrent large waves that would require social distancing and shutdowns and those types of more disruptive things. So the name of the game right now for our state and our nation is to build the most comprehensive, scientifically certain, intelligent system to have to avoid where we can't avoid those things. And I think there's a good probability we can do that. And I'd like to do it sooner rather than later. So I want to get through this social distancing strategy till we get to the next part. Other countries have, South Korea, Singapore, they've been able to make that transition successfully. I think we should be able to do the same.
In Bloomberg News today, you probably saw this, or at least your staff did, there's an opinion piece that said that you and the other governors in the West, and including some on the Far East, are doing the right thing by creating these regional alliances. I know that you said that there's not a lot of specifics to that, but in an ideal world, how does that mechanism work? Are you alerting California when you're making a policy change, or are they alerting you? How do you envision that actually being implemented?
I think a couple things. Number one, we wanted to create a shared vision of what this restart would look like, and I think we've created the principles of those general principles, and we have sort of a unity of vision on that regard. Our governor south of us talked about those. We have some things in the upcoming days talking about the same thing. So I think that gives people some degree of confidence that we're on the right track. I think it shows the strength of the West Coast relative to the federal government, although that may be less of a problem now. I just heard the president saying he's not going to try to order states, that he's just going to allow states to do what they will, and I think that's a good thing. So I think he's retreated from that position. So that's a good thing. And it is communication. It is sharing communication. It is sharing expertise to the possibility we can share tips on procurement and the like. So I think it is a good thing. It does not mean that we will be working in lockstep on dates, for instance. I would not anticipate that you'll see exactly the same dates of exactly the same processes. I think that's going to be state by state, depending on where they are in the curve and their contact tracing armies. But I'm glad we're in that unified position. The West Coast has led the nation in a lot of things in many decades, and I think this will be one more case of that.
That is Washington State Governor Jay Inslee. Governor, thank you so much for talking to us here on Cairo Nights.
Thank you, Governor Inslee.
Wash your hands.
We always are.
Always.
Okay.
Thanks
thank
for your
you.
Time.
Bye-bye.